On today's episode of Cool Cars with Chris, we are jumping right into a time capsule. Mike's stock 1991 Honda CRX SI. No crazy mods, no neon lights, just pure 90s Honda greatness. This little hot hatch still turns heads today, and today you'll hear why it's still a legend. What's happening? How are you doing today? Thank you so much for being here. I am Chris, and this is Cool Cars with Chris. You clicked on the right show at the right time, the right place, baby. Welcome to it. And today we are in for a very, very special treat. We are joined by Mike, who brings in his 1991 Honda CRX SI. Now you're thinking, okay, great. It's just another Honda. It's just another early 90s Honda. But wait, this thing is incredibly clean. This thing is incredibly detailed, and this thing is in pristine condition. I'm talking mint condition, as if it's been completely restored to factory. It is a classic. It is completely super, super clean. And it is entirely stock, which is crazy to find any Honda these days, especially from that era, that hasn't been like modified or, you know, case swapped, engine swapped or whatever. So it's a real treat to see something that is literally like stepping inside a time capsule. It feels as if this car just came off the assembly line. It just rolled off. You just picked it up, took the Saran wrap right off the thing, and here you go. It is in pristine condition. So please enjoy my conversation with Mike and his Honda CRX SI. Okay, welcome to another edition of Cool Cars with Chris. And before we get started, hit that subscribe button or follow button right now. Hey, I'm watching you. Hit it. You know where it's at.
He'll know if you don't do it.
That's right. I can watch you. I can see you right now. Hit that subscribe button, follow button. All right, here we go. Welcome to another edition. We are with Mike. And Mike's got a really cool car, a throwback, a classic. What do you got here, Mike?
Thanks so much for having me, Chris. This is my 1991 Honda CRX SI.
Wow. Now, the SI, does anybody know what that actually means?
Sport injected, I guess, is what I've always been led to believe. But I guess all you need to really know is it was the top of the food chain back in 1991 for the CRX. There were
three
trim levels, and this was the top trim level, if you can believe that. As basic as this car is, it was kind of the thing back then.
Well, when you say thing back then, what were like the competing like cars like this back then in the 90s? Well, I guess early 90s, late 80s.
Yeah, good question. So this would have been what people consider to be a hot hatch, like a GTI, you know, even a Civic hatchback, very similar to this car, Mazda MX-3, which you could actually get a small V6 in. This was really what many consider to be the golden era of Hondas back in the late 80s and early 90s. Unfortunately, they'll never make them like this anymore. This is a very basic car. We're talking no airbags, no ABS, no nannies like that. And it just gives an experience that you just cannot replace.
So obviously, you grew up with this car, probably, going to school. And I'm not going to say how old you are. I don't know. I mean, age is just a number here. But why the CRX for you? Like, what made this car your car that you really like liked back then and still like today?
Yeah, that is a very on-point question, Chris. So back in the late 80s and early 90s, back in the high school and college days for me, this was an aspirational car. And, you know, it was something that you could... Well, not me as a student, but this is something that a lot of people could afford. You know, these were not super expensive cars, and they were a lot of fun. And Honda reliability, I mean, who can beat that? So I've always been into Hondas. I have this 91 CRX, and I've got also two Honda Preludes, an 89 Prelude SI, and also a 1993 Prelude SI. So I really enjoy this era.
That's great. I know that most people, when they get a car like this, any Honda, really, even today's Hondas, it seems like, thanks to movies like Fast and the Furious, thanks to things like that, that it's very, very rare to find one that has not been tweaked with, modified, tuned, intake, exhaust, wheels, ribs, neon glow. How did you keep this thing mint stock condition this whole time?
Well, you know, I've only owned this car for about 4 years, but let me tell you, it was very difficult to find one that was completely stock. And in doing so, I had a hard time. I actually had to put a question on one of the Facebook groups. I'd had it, you know, I just looked everywhere. I wanted one that was not, you know, quote unquote, riced out.
And riced out, yeah, that's a term.
That is so hard to find. But when you find one that's completely stock like this, it's really cherished. And I love it. I mean, I also love modified cars. Don't get me wrong. I love modified cars and lifted trucks and Jeeps, and I love everything. But to me, a car like this just needs to be stock. It's where it's most appreciated. And, you know, the amount of looks this thing gets every time I'm on the freeway or at the gas station, everybody strikes up a conversation. People usually want to buy this car. You know, it's not for sale.
Well, what is the biggest offer you ever got for this thing so far? Has anyone dropped numbers?
No, it's, you know, just, oh, would you be willing to sell that? And I said, sorry, it's not for sale. So we've never talked numbers, and I'm not interested at this point. You know, I looked for a car like this for a long time, and I like it. It's small. It doesn't take up any space in my garage, and I'll keep it as long as I can.
That's fantastic. How many miles are on this thing?
Believe it or not, this has 167,000 miles on it.
That's fairly low. Now, are these on these cars, do the odometers roll over every 100, or does it have that one mark, that 100,000 spot on the odometer?
Well, this is a Honda, Chris. I mean, come on. They're built to go hundreds of thousands of miles.
Well, I know, but some cars have the, like, I know that old Ford Ranger I had.
Yep.
It, like, clicked over at 100,000. It reset back to zero.
Yeah, this is not the case. This has a one in front of it.
Okay, good.
And my Preludes both have twos in front of them. So
look at that.
They are meant to last.
That is great. That is great. Now, what engine does this thing have?
So this is a four-cylinder. This has a 1.6 liter single overhead cam 16 valve engine, and it makes a scorching 106 horsepower.
Wow. You know what's funny? I just saw a meme yesterday. I sent it over, and it basically was a guy, it was all AI, of course, and this guy had like a Honda Civic or whatever. And like, so the whole meme is that the guy took it to like the tuner shop, and he says, you came in on the dyno, you came in with 106 horsepower. After all the upgrades, you left with 107 horsepower. And the guy's like, woohoo!
Yeah, this is certainly not a car that you're going to go fast in. I mean, make no mistake, it has no problem doing freeway speeds, but, you know, much above, say, 80. Not that I would ever speed like that, of course, but much above 80, you know, it's not really a car you want to be in. It's loud. It's small. People run up on you. And, you know, that's the other thing. This, because of the design of this, the hatchback, people get very, 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 very close to the back of your car. You look in your rear mirror in the window, and there's people like 3 feet away from you, and you're just like, back off. You know, don't rear end me. I can't replace this car.
Yeah. Well, are parts hard to find for this thing? If you were to... like something, say somebody did run into you and they did go into like the back quarter panel or something like that. Where would you find parts? How'd you do that?
Well, there are mechanical parts available for this because, you know, the parts were shared pretty much across the Civic lineup. But as far as body parts, bumper covers, tail lights, you're going to have a harder time trying to find stuff like that. So let's just hope that it doesn't happen.
Definitely. Now, because of that, is it harder to insure or the same for a regular car? How do you?
No, I have this on a collector car policy, and you know, because it's not a daily driver, and I have multiple other cars that are on the same policy, and it's actually very, very inexpensive to insure a car for a stated value. You know, you pick the value you want.
Right,
and
yeah.
you pay your premium based on that. Your risk is lower. And I'm in the insurance business, by the way, so this is kind of like...
it's your wheelhouse, really.
It is my wheelhouse, yeah. So to answer your question, no, it is not more difficult to insure. I would not put this on an actual cash value or a daily driver policy by any means. You just, you know, you're playing with fire if you have a loss.
Do you remember the time, you said you bought the car 4 years ago.
Right.
Do you remember the moment when you finally picked it up and what was running through your mind when you saw this car and you're like, yes, that's the one?
So, and the guy that I bought it from, I'm sure you'll be watching this. He seems to watch all of my videos. He follows along. So I found this car semi-locally in like the Temecula Marietta area. And I'll never forget, I put the post out there. I'm looking to buy a car. And I got several replies, you know, and he stood out. He's like, well, I have this car. It's not really for sale, but it could be for sale for the right price. You know, here's my price, kind of take it or leave it type of thing. I said, okay, well, that's probably a little bit more than I wanted to spend, but I definitely want to see the car. So I drove up there. We met at the mall in Temecula, the parking lot. And I still have to this day the photos of him driving away. Went to look at the car, we made the agreement, okay, you know, we'll do the smog and I'll pick it up on Tuesday. But him driving away, I'm like, okay, there it is. There's the car right there. I'm buying that one.
Really?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Wow. That's great, man. And I know that, this car being that... Well, how many miles did you have on it when you first bought it, by the way? You said you had 160 now? What do you have? What'd you buy?
167 now. I have not put more than maybe a few thousand miles at the very most on it. Just because it's, you know, it's a cars and coffee car for me. It's not, you know, I wouldn't take it to Walmart. I wouldn't take it grocery shopping. You know, it's just not that kind of car. You know, you could certainly do that. You know, it's a hatchback, but you don't want to leave this unattended in the Home Depot parking lot. You know?
Right. Now the color looks great on the thing. The paint job, is this new or is this original?
No. So this, I had this painted a couple years ago.
Okay.
These, when they came from the factory, were a single stage red. And when I got this car, the top surfaces, the paint was just very, very thin, just from being, you know, in the sun since 1991. So it just made sense rather than to get, you know, the roof and maybe the hood painted. I had the whole car painted, but other than that, the rest of the car is original.
So the paint job.
Yes.
Did you have to look up the color code and all that stuff to match? So this is the same color the
it
car
is.
Came in?
Okay. This is Rio Red. And it was very important to me that the car be painted Rio Red, not a different shade. You know, and if you open the door jams, they flawlessly match.
Oh, nice.
Under the hood, everything, you know, that was not repainted. So that, yes, factory specifications, very important to me.
Yeah, I mean, keep it identical. So it did come this color from the factory.
Yes.
Off the line, it came exactly like this. And it looks great. This is like literally, like even the badge looks so like pristine. I love it, you know, because somebody's had these badges ripped off or who knows what. This is like got to be the most mint condition 90s or eight, I guess early 90s Honda I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I appreciate that. And I do work hard. It's not a perfect car by any means. I know every flaw this car has.
What are those flaws then?
Oh, no, we won't point those out.
Oh, come on. I mean, well, is there anything in the car that you're like, wish that, I mean, I know it's a classic and it's kind of like, it is what it is because it's a time capsule in time, the way they made cars back then. No airbags, like you said.
Right.
No GPS, no Siri, none of that stuff.
Right.
But other than those kind of things, is there anything you're like, oh, I wish I kind of did that back then?
Well, I will say this, and many people that are into these kind of cars may disagree with me, but I honestly wish this car had power steering. It has power brakes, but no power steering.
Interesting.
And no, you don't need it. But it just seems like when you go to crank that wheel, it just kind of makes the car feel a little
parallel
cheap.
Parallel parking is a...
cheap. It just makes the car feel cheap. You know, like, you know, would it have killed them? You know, they did have, like, the Civic sedan did have power steering. And some people can retrofit that to this car. But, you know, I'm keeping it stock, so.
I drove, my first car that I drove, like, at 16 years old, was my parents had a hand-me-down Mitsubishi Mighty Max pickup truck, 1987. Mm-hmm. or 86, one of those years. And it didn't have power steering either. And it was like, we were on the freeway, you're cruising around, it's okay. But just trying to like turn into a parking spot or out of a parking spot, you're just cranking that wheel. And I remember those days. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those things. And a lot of people may like it, you know, because it, if you drive this car for the first time, it kind of smacks you in the face. Like, wow, there's no power steering. This must have been a really cheap car back in the day.
Well, did it have wheel lock? Like some cars, when you turn the wheel, they'll lock if you don't get the key or something goofy. Does it do that?
No, it does. Yeah, okay. Yeah. For a security feature, I think most cars do that. You know, and it's mechanical, whereas new cars, they're now all electronic and they fail.
Gosh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I heard like the worst car, like I know people that have owned BMWs.
Yeah.
And especially when they get the high mileage ones that are up into like the 60,000 and above. You know, range, everything fails and everything's expensive.
That's right. And you know, the car that you and I have in common, the Nissan 370Z, that's also a big problem with those cars. The electronic steering lock.
Yeah, heard about that. Yeah.
They fail and, you know, you could be stuck. So, won't worry about that with this car because if it fails, you just crank the wheel a little bit, it'll unlock.
Oh, really? Is that a trick?
Well, no, but I mean, it's not, you know, it's just mechanical.
So okay.
You put the key in. You know, and you just turn the wheel a little bit, it unlocks.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So you said you haven't put a lot of miles in this car. Have you taken it anywhere far? Like, what's the furthest place you've taken this car to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually take this every year to JCCS in Long Beach, Japanese Classic Car Show. That is coming up in about 3 weeks from the date of this filming. So that is in Long Beach, and that's an all-day affair. I also go to Radwood. I've gone to Radwood every year except for the first year, only because I didn't know about it. This car has made the journey with me for the last several years. And I mean, it's probably out of my three golden era Hondas, it's probably what I consider the nicest, you know, so it's most show-ready car. So to quickly answer your question, Los Angeles, you know, we're in San Diego here.
Yeah.
And so that's about as far as this car has gone with me.
I'm sure it ran just fine all the way up there.
Oh, yeah, no problems.
Speaking of running, what kind of oil do you put in it? What kind of gas do you put in it?
So the oil is just regular, like, 10W30. And, you know, full synthetic is fine. I'm not against putting full synthetic in older cars like this. It hasn't been an issue. And this car, by the way, does not leak any oil.
So that's great.
Most old cars...
Does it burn oil, though? Because a lot of older Hondas do burn oil.
Yeah, not that I'm aware of. I think, you know, simply because it's an old car at this point, it probably does burn a little bit. But, you know, I check the oil frequently, the level, and I haven't had to add oil in this for a very long time. Gas is just regular 87 octane.
That's it? No premium?
No premium in this, no. No, the Prelude, my 93 Prelude does require, you know,
and
91.
And the Z required it too, of course. I remember that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, with my truck, I can run ethanol or whatever in there. And it's a fun throwing around, see what I can do with different blends of gas. But that's great, man. So when you take this car out to Cars and Coffee or to LA or wherever you take this thing out, what are people's reaction when they see this car?
Well, it's usually... Well, not so much JCCS, Japanese Classic Car Show, because there's 400 other cars.
Just like this?
Just like this. All Japanese manufacturers.
Right.
And you have to kind of audition to be in that show. You have to send them photos.
Really?
They have to approve your photos. They want to see the engine. They want to see the, you know, the interior, the outside.
They ask for the VIN number?
They don't ask for the VIN number, no. But, I mean, this car's never had a problem. You know, making the cut. They don't want Bondo buggies or primered rides at the show, which I understand.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a couple of museums I've been to. There's one in the San Diego Museum down by the
Balboa Park.
Yeah. And they have all kinds of cars in there. And I don't know if they had a old Honda like this, but I can see this fitting right in place, in a place like that. There was one in Laughlin I used to go to, and there's one in Vegas. I don't know if it's still there anymore. But, all kinds of different cars, and I can see a car like this fitting right in to there. I can see that. And I like that you got the actual, like you said, it was an original window sticker, but it's a window sticker. It looks like an original window sticker.
Right.
Right on the side. I was trying forever to find the window sticker for the Z, because I bought it used. I didn't have the window sticker. So I was trying to find one, a copy of anything. I couldn't find nothing, because I was trying to find out which version I had. I knew it was a sport version, but I wasn't sure. I wanted to see the window sticker. Where did you get the window sticker for this thing? How'd you find it?
So the guy that made that for me, unfortunately, is no longer doing those. But he had made window stickers for all of my cars in the past, cars that I no longer own, including all the ones that I still own. But it is up to me to kind of provide all of the information, where this car came from, the dealership it was originally sold from, originally the options. And with this car, it's so simple. I mean, everything was dealer installed. Fortunately, this came with dealer installed air conditioning, floor mats, mud flaps, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know the old cars had that. I remember some preloads I saw that had the mud flaps on the back tires there.
Yeah.
They're like this little kind of thing, a cutout. It's almost like a triangle kind of piece kind of around the bumper, kind of stuck out the bottom there. Yeah. So, well, that's great, man. And people do, when they do see this car, do they ask to go for a ride or they just sort of take pictures with it or anything like that?
Yeah, no one's ever asked to go for a ride in it.
Well, I'm asking to go for a ride.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, people at a gas station, no, I wouldn't let just strangers in my car. But
of course not. I mean, yeah, you know,
yeah.
Take the keys or whatever.
But, you know, I like mentioned before, I have a few other cars of this era, and I kind of rotate through them. And I am at Escondido Cars and Coffee every Sunday. For those of you that are local to the San Diego area, Dennis, along with the help of myself, we run the Cars and Coffee, and it's been going on. God, we're going on, I think, 6 years at this point.
What time of day? What time on Sunday is it at?
It's at Kit Carson Park. It's every Sunday, rain or shine, and we start at 8 a.m. and we have theme weeks. So Japanese week, we just had, you know, we have Euro week, we have truck week, we have van week, we have week for, you know, pretty much any.
Would my truck be welcome at truck week over there?
Your truck would absolutely be welcome at truck week.
Okay,
I took my lifted Silverado to truck week.
Oh, nice.
You can bring anything you want, lifted, lowered, work in progress. We don't care. We have no rules.
Is there a fee to bring your car? Or
there is no fee. No, of course not. It is at Kit Carson Park. There's no fee for the entry to the park. But it's kind of right behind the mall in Escondido off of Bear Valley Parkway, 3333 Bear Valley Parkway, actually. And there's no fee to participate. And on any given Sunday, we have anywhere from like maybe 100 cars to sometimes several hundred cars if it's the theme week. Japanese,
nice.
Yeah, Japanese week is probably our biggest one. So
what is the like rarest car you've had there that you would think a rare? I mean,
Well, you know, we tend to get a lot of like military guys that will import, you know, JDM spec,
like a Skyline or something.
Skylines, we see those.
No way, like right
all
wrong
the time.
Side drive. What is the right?
No, yeah, the right hand drive.
Right, yeah,
yeah. Skylines or, you know, even like Accords or things like that. You know, as far as other cars, I mean, we get, you know, some Ferraris and Lamborghinis occasionally. Those are not cars that I care about personally. I would rather, if I won the lottery,
really,
and money were no object,
yeah,
I would fill my garage with cars like this.
Look at that.
I really honestly would. And case in point, there was a time when I did own an R35 GTR, and my friends made fun of me because I would leave that in the garage and I would drive my 89 Prelude. And nobody could, why? You have a GTR.
Where is that GTR at today?
Oh, traded in long ago.
Man, that's a car. My kids want that. My son wanted a GTR, and I said, "Go look them up on Auto Trader and see what they go for."
Yeah,
you know. And he's like, "What? What?" He thought they were like 10, 20 grand.
Well, you know, as many people do, when I had my 370Z, I aspired to own a GTR, so I traded the 370Z on the GTR. And I'm like, this is a nice car. It's really fast, but I'm kind of bored with it. It's just not really for me. So I would rather have a lot of these.
Nice.
Maybe not necessarily a bunch of CRXs, but cars, you know, of the golden era. You know, I had for a decade, I owned a 1990 Miata that I just recently sold to a friend. I let him borrow it. And he messaged me and he said, I'm in love with this car.
Really?
And I said, do you want to buy it? He goes, yes. So immediately we made the deal.
Wow, that's great.
So
it's great. Was it modified or stock? Pretty close.
It was pretty much stock. Again, I'm not against modifying cars. I love modifying cars, but you know, when was the last time you saw a stock 1990 Miata? They're rare. They're out there, well, but they're rare.
I get a trip out is that the monster Miatas with the V8s or the LS swaps or the Coyote V8s or what I throw in those things. And I don't know if they're even illegal in California with carb and all that. So I don't even know how that stuff works.
Well, I don't know if you knew this, but those back in the day were actually manufactured right in San Marcos.
Yeah, I did see a YouTube video about
that. Right off of Nordahl. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a company out there that did them. You
Monster Miata. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's where I got the name from. And I saw a few Monster Miatas at a few car shows. I saw them. Like, that's pretty insane. And they say they're surprisingly balanced.
They are. They put the old, like, 302... the 5.0,
the Mustang one,
the 5.0, pushrod engine in those cars back in the day. And I've seen more LS swap Miatas because they're, just more prevalent these days.
Yeah.
I'm sure you could do it, in a state like California, it might be difficult with our smog.
Well, I did
laws.
hear about the new Dodge Durango. Hear about that?
Yeah, I did.
About how they're not. It's only the top tier models with the supercharged, what is it, the Scat Pack version, cannot be sold in California. Any state that's got a carb, like any carb state.
Sure.
It's it says Fed states only when you look at the website.
Yeah.
I think it's nuts. Here's a car that if you cross state line into California with it, they just, what, they take it? What do they do with it? I don't know.
Well,
take it, you?
No,
rest
I.
You?
No, I just think you can't register it here necessarily. But you can certainly, you're free to drive your car into California. But that's really no different. A lot of your viewers may know about the whole, one of your previous show with the Elantra N. You know, there was a situation in California. I think it was Orange County. Leaving the South or OC Cars and Coffee or going to it, where the guy got pulled over and got a ticket for having the factory
exhaust
on it. Yeah, you can look that up. And I'm not sure whatever happened. I think that was probably maybe a year or so ago. But I would like to know what happened. If anybody knows, put it in the comments,
Yeah, because some of these cars, like some of the Dodge, like the Scat Packs or the 392. I think the Scat Pack I'm thinking of, there was one I was looking at. Before I bought my truck, I was actually looking at the four-door. Was it the Challenger? Charger.
I get
the two mixed up. The Charger with the 392 engine, and I was looking at that, and those things sound pretty loud, and I'm sure they got a loud mode on them and everything on the thing and all that. And I was like, man, I've heard people getting pulled over, especially in a parking garage, when you fire that thing up, and you're just like, I've seen videos and YouTube videos, people getting pulled over for all kinds of stuff, and eventually go in a wormhole just watching video after video of people getting pulled over.
Yeah. And I have friends that are attorneys and they'll all tell you the same thing. Look, don't give them probable cause to pull you over. If you're riding around with dark tinted windows in California, probable cause. You're missing a front license plate, probable cause. You have a loud exhaust, probable cause. Just don't give the opportunity for that to happen. And, you should be fine.
I got the exhaust out of my Z. I love that thing. But it was like almost kind of mellow because that guy did ask me, you want it loud or you want it performance? I said, yeah, performance. And so it was had a nice tone to it. It almost sounded like stock. It didn't sound too crazy loud. I've heard some that go by and it's like Tommy exhaust. They chop the whole thing off and it's just loud as loud can be.
It's like a trumpet. It sounds like a trumpet going
and that's,
by.
That's the whole joke about the VQ right. engine. It's a trumpet, right. And stuff like that. So, but this has been great. This car looks amazing. And it is a stick shift, 5-speed or 4-speed?
It's a 5-speed. Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Now, at what point did they make 5-speeds? Because I thought they were 4-speeds back in the day.
Well, so back in this era, this 1988 through 1991, all of the CRXs were 5-speeds. Or you could get the automatic transmission in the middle line, which was the DX model.
Those are 4-speeds?
No. They didn't offer a 4-speed manual in this car. They were
automatic.
All 5-speed or automatic. The only version that got the automatic was the DX model, the kind of like everyday driver looking thing. The CRX HF, the high fuel economy one, was 5-speed only, as is the CRX SI, the top level trim, 5-speed only. So, 4 speeds were gone by this point.
So they don't make SI editions for Hondas anymore. Don't they just go with like an R version now, a Type R?
Well, yeah, they kind of did away with the I, you know, which kind of stands for fuel injection. Back when all cars started to become fuel injected, you know, they would just change the you know, even with the Prelude, they just did away with the SI. You know, to me, SI will always mean like the hot hatch version or the one you want.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I remember that too. Remember SI was pretty cool. And this is a super cool car, man. I dig it. I appreciate this kind of era of Hondas that are super clean. The fact that it's fuel injection, it's great. Because I remember the truck I was telling you about, the Mitsubishi, that thing was carbureted. Had a big old like filter on the hood, you know, the big old thick wing nut off.
Right.
Big filter, carburetor. And I thought fuel injection was something for the cool cars had fuel injection back then. Because that was my thing going in high school. I was like, I wanted a fuel injection. I don't care what it is, as long as it's fuel injected.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That was the thing. Because this thing has it. It's great.
Yeah, it was so rare back then, especially for a high school kid to have a hand-me-down car that might be fuel injected, you know?
Yeah. Well, I had rich kids too that parents had, you know, Range Rovers and things like that or whatever. Like someday or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I never grew up with any kind of, you know, money or buying power, you know, or anything like that. So to have anything that was my own, I guess, was kind of something very proud to have. And this is a great car, and hopefully it lasts you like forever.
You know? And that's kind of like, you know, I would consider this to be an aspirational car. You know, it certainly was for me back in the day, even though I couldn't afford one. But, you know, I always aspired to own it. And later in life, you know, when you have a little extra money and you have the ability to track down and find something, you know, you aspire to. I really cherish it as much now as I probably would have back if I owned it brand new. That's just, you know, either you like cars or you don't. You know?
That's the thing. There's people that just think cars are just modes of transportation. They get me to and for the store, to work, or
an appliance, you know, a Prius or whatever. And there's nothing wrong with that, but that's why cars like this will always be valuable to people like me.
There you go. Yeah. And I think it's a super cool car, and I cannot wait to go for a ride. You want to go for a ride?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do this.
Wow, that was fantastic. I want to thank Mike once again for coming on down and bringing his Honda CRX SI and getting to share it with you, with me, and I get to get a ride in the thing. That was super cool. It was such a fun car to ride around in. And it had like this nice purr to the engine. It was a classic Honda 4-cylinder, 16-valve, 1.6 liter. And it had that nice little sound, that classic Honda sound. When you hear the engine, it just sounds like something that takes me back to my childhood because I grew up with cars like that. I rode around in cars like that. And it just feels like such a throwback. And it puts you in a different space and time. Like it sends you back in the down the memory lane. And that's what I love about that car. It's great. It's probably why Mike loves that car. And it's such a cool, iconic car. And I would like to thank you for listening all the way to the very end of this episode. And if you like these episodes, and if you like this show, please give it a rating and review. But before you do that, go on and check out the brand new website put together for Cool Cars with Chris. That website is CoolCarsWithChris.com. Go over there. I've got all the links to all the videos I display on YouTube are right in there. I got, of course, all the podcast stuff is right over there. Every single episode is right there at CoolCarsWithChris.com. And there's also links to social media. I'm mostly active on Instagram. It's on there too. So if you want to check that out, all of that and ways to message me, it's all right there at CoolCarsWithChris.com. And I hope you enjoy your car, drive safe, stay legal, have fun, don't crash it, especially if it's a classic, because those classics, like Mike said, are very hard to replace if they get in a crash. So drive safe, please. And until next time, I'll catch you later.